You're listening because you want to get right to the heart of things, yeah. Understand a topic properly without wading through loads of jargon. We get that. And that's exactly what we're aiming for today. We're doing a deep dive into a really pretty clever innovation in university education. Specifically, how one course started using podcasts for assessment, not something you hear about every day. Think of this as your quick guide to how some educators are using new media to, well, to make learning better.
Exactly. We want to give you a clear path to understanding this specific teaching approach. Our focus is on Peter Lagerward and Graham Krusen from PPLE College and their work with the Integrative Seminar 3 Security course. So the mission today is really to unpack why they brought podcasting into their security studies course, how they actually implemented it, and you know what the results were. Anyone interested in new learning methods or maybe the crossover between media and education? Well, you should find some real takeaways here.
Okay, right. Let's dig in then. This course, Integrative Seminar 3, is security. It sits within a bigger program at PPLE, doesn't it? What's the context?
Yes, exactly. It's one of four interdisciplinary seminars they run in their bachelor program. That program pulls together politics, psychology, law, and economics, PPLE. And this particular seminar zooms in on security studies, a very relevant topic these days.
Makes sense. And how is the course itself structured?
It's got two main parts, basically. First, there are lectures and exams covering the sort of general security literature, foundational stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Then, after that, students break off into smaller working groups. And these groups dive deeper into very specific security topics.
Right, okay. And the podcasts fit into these smaller working groups.
That's exactly where they come in, yeah. So within these groups, students do their own research, they conduct interviews, they do literature reviews, that kind of thing. And this research leads to two things, a joint research paper and the podcast. But the interesting thing about the podcast, it's not just like presenting findings.
Oh, how so?
It's specifically designed for them to discuss the whole process of their research. You know, talk about the insights they gain, how the group worked together, that reflection piece.
Oh, that's smart. Focusing on the how as much as the what. So before podcasts, how did they get students reflecting on that journey?
Good question. Before the 2020-2021 academic year, it was mainly through presentations. Students would stand up in front of the class, essentially, and talk about their research process.
Okay, presentations. Pretty standard, yeah. So what prompted the switch to audio? Why podcasts?
Well, the big catalyst, maybe unsurprisingly, was the COVID-19 pandemic. Suddenly, everyone had to teach remotely, right? So they needed alternative ways to handle things like reflection sessions. At the same time, podcasts were just booming in popularity. And Graham Krusen had this idea. What if groups recorded discussions about their work process?
That's quite a leap from a standard presentation. What did they see as the main advantages? I mean, it requires different skills.
They felt that podcasts offered a much better space for real dialogue, for deeper reflection, compared to a live presentation, which can be a bit formal, maybe a bit nerve-wracking. A recorded conversation could feel more natural, more relaxed.
Mm. Less pressure, maybe?
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
And that could allow students to really explore their research journey, their group dynamics, the tricky bits, the conclusions in a more authentic way. The educators basically concluded that the core learning goal reflection was actually better served by the podcast format. And interestingly, they stuck with it even after they went back to in-person teaching.
So it wasn't just a pandemic workaround. They genuinely found it pedagogically better.
Exactly. It proved its worth beyond just solving a logistical problem.
Okay, but making a podcast, that sounds like it could be technically challenging for students who've never done it. Did the university step up with support?
That's a crucial point, absolutely.
Yeah.
Initially, it was more informal. A few keen students found the university's podcast studio on their own initiative. But then, starting in the 2024-2025 academic year, they really formalized the support structure.
Mm.
Peter Lagerward worked closely with the ICTO team, that's Information and Communication Technology in Education.
Right, ICTO.
Yes, to basically streamline the whole thing, make it easier for everyone.
And what did that streamlined support actually involve? What resources did students get?
They put a couple of key things in place. First, drop-in sessions. Students could just show up and ask questions about recording, software, microphones, you know, the practical stuff. They also created a handout, like a guide, to help students prepare for their recording session. Thinking points, structure, that sort of thing.
Okay, that sounds helpful.
And crucially, they made the professional podcast studio in the C building easily available. Students could just sign up for time slots. Though it's worth noting, the students still had to install the recording software themselves on the studio machines and actually run the recording.
So a bit of student responsibility baked in there too.
Yeah, it was balance. Yeah. Providing the infrastructure and guidance, mm-hmm. but also fostering some technical independence.
Okay, so the students make these audio reflections. What then? How does the feedback loop work and how does it affect their grade? It's not like marking up an essay.
No, it's different. The feedback was handled quite collaboratively. In their final working group meeting, everyone, students and instructors, would listen to the podcast together. And after listening, the students would give peer feedback to other groups. Constructive criticism, insights.
Ah, immediate peer review.
Exactly. And they were expected to actually use that feedback before submitting the final version of the podcast later that week. As for grading, the podcast wasn't marked separately. It was assessed as part of the overall group research paper. So the paper grade reflected both the research itself and the quality of reflection shown in the podcast.
Right, that integrates it nicely. It ties the reflection directly to the main research output. Makes sense. So overall, how did this whole experiment land? Was it considered a success?
Oh, definitely. The feedback was really positive, both from the educators, Peter and Bram, and from the students. In the official course evaluations, something like nearly half the students gave the podcast part the top rating.
Wow, nearly half. That's high praise.
It is. And Peter and Bram noticed the quality, both audio quality and the depth of discussion, really improved once students started using the Pro Studio consistently. They also mentioned something important, enjoyment. Both students and teachers actually seemed to enjoy the process.
That counts for a lot in education, doesn't it?
It really does. And the proof is in the pudding, as they say. They absolutely plan to keep using the podcast studio for this course next year. It's clearly become a valued, embedded part of how they teach this seminar now.
So what we're seeing here is a really solid, real-world case study. A university course successfully using podcasts, not just for kicks, but as a deliberate tool to improve student reflection. And the keys seem to be having that clear educational reason behind it.
Right, the pedagogical goal.
And then providing the actual support, the studio, the guidance to make it work well.
Precisely. It wasn't about chasing technology. It was about finding a better way to achieve a learning outcome and then putting the necessary pieces in place to support students and staff in using that new way effectively. It was a thoughtful implementation.
It really makes you wonder, though, how could these ideas apply elsewhere? You know, in other courses, other levels of education, maybe even in workplaces where reflection and team debriefs are important. Could podcasting, or just audio reflection, be a useful tool for you listening right now in your own learning or work?
That's a great question to ponder.
Yeah.
And it leads to another thought. Beyond assessment, what other ways could audio help us? How else could we use sound creatively to, say, deepen our grasp of complex subjects, or just share knowledge more engagingly? We've seen it work for reflection here. But what other potential does audio hold for learning and communication that we haven't fully explored yet?